Good evening.
Good evening.
Ephesians 6:10. We're going to be back to the church, but Ephesians 6:10, we'll read the entire text. Go on. Ephesians 6:10 to 18. It's amazing, you go over a passage of the Word of God, and every time you study it, there are new depths that the Lord reveals. There's no book like it.
Amen.
If I were to title tonight's message, it would be, "Are you armed or are you unarmed as a Christian? Armed or unarmed?" And we'll look at the first piece of the armor. Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Make sure you know who's on the mat. That's who you're wrestling. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Note that word, all. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Let's ask God's help. Father, help us. Father, we are a very needy people. Father, we're bankrupt. We're empty without you, Lord. We need your Spirit, oh God. Father, Zechariah tells us, "Not by might, nor by power, that is our own, but by thy Spirit, saith the Lord." And so, Father, we ask for your Spirit's presence. Father, please speak to us. Father, as Deuteronomy says, "You have begun to show thy servants thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven that can do according to all that you can say or do? There is no God like unto thee, O God." We pray now that you would help us, Father, to know the armor of God, but not just to know it, Father, but to put it on, to take it unto ourselves, and Father, be experienced in the use of it, Father, that we may use it with spiritual skill. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Just a little review. As I said last time, this is one of the most important passages in all of the Holy Scriptures. In it, we are taught of a supernatural strength that we must possess if we would effectively resist our adversary, the devil. It's not if, it's when. You have an adversary, the devil, if you're in Christ. He is going to come after you. He will be your constant and common enemy if you're a Christian. Not only must you possess the strength and might of God, you must be equipped with the armor of God, which is the primary defense that God has supplied for you. If you would withstand the devil, if you would stand in the evil day, when your adversary, the devil, attacks you, you must possess this armor. Paul tells us twice. He says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the methods of the devil." Verse 13, he says, "Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, simply to stand." We looked last week at "be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might," verse 10. Remember, this, that as a Christian, you walk and war and resist the devil by faith in God, not in the flesh, but in God's strength and in God's might, by faith. I hope that I can help you understand a little more of that today. Understand that one of Satan's primary tactics is to get you to war in the flesh. He wants to get you to war in the world against other humans. He wants you to fight with your fellow humans. He wants you to fight with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. He wants you to fight among yourselves in the world, and in so doing, he wants you to bring you down to his ground. Don't fight on his ground. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. If you're going to resist the devil, it's got to be on God's ground. That's how we resist him steadfast in the faith. If he gets you to fight on his ground, he will cripple you spiritually by causing you to resist the wrong enemy. The wrong enemy are your fellow humans down here. Now as we move to each piece of the armor, what is the armor? What is it? It's not literal steel that we wear. So what is it? How do I put it on? How do I use it? How do I use this armor? So first of all, what is it? Well, here's how Paul describes the armor. The first piece is truth. Remember, this is spiritual armor. The first piece is truth. The second piece is righteousness. The third piece is the gospel of peace. The fourth piece is your faith in Christ, which is like a shield. The fifth piece is your salvation. The sixth piece is the sword or weapon of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The final piece, which some argue whether it's a piece or not, it's all prayer. So truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, your faith in Christ, your salvation, the sword or weapon of the Holy Spirit, which is the Word of God and prayer. When you read the words, the armor of God, understand that you may as well be reading, God is your armor. You may as well be reading that. And that's the only way to withstand. It's the only way to stand against the devil. Let me show you something. Genesis 15, go back to Abram before he was Abraham. Genesis 15, 1. Look at a few passages here. What the Lord told Abram in Genesis 15:1, God says to Abram, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield. Means protector. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. 2 Samuel 22. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 1. 2 Samuel 22 and verse 1. And then we'll look at a few Psalms. 2 Samuel 22, 1. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this psalm in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies. And out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Brethren, God is your armor. Psalm 18, verse 30. Psalm 18, verse 30. The book of the Psalms, 18 and verse 30. what we got to read, verse 29. For by thee, the psalmist here says, I have run through a troop. But he wouldn't have run through a troop without thee, without God. And by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler, that is a shield, to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. And we could go on, but we'll settle it right there. And then Psalm 119, verse 114. Psalm 119, verse 114. So again, beloved, when you read the armor of God, understand that you may as well be reading God is your armor. God is your armor. Psalm 119, verse 114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. So it starts giving us a clue as to where our protection lies. So Paul begins here by teaching us about each piece of the armor of God in the imagery of, really, a Roman soldier readying for battle. That's what they saw in their time. As the Ephesians read Paul's letter, I have no doubt that they had a picture of a fully equipped Roman soldier in their mind's eye. This is how Paul set before them the reality of what would confront them and the reality of what confronts every one of us is the reality that the devil will confront us. You know, I've talked to people before. Nobody likes confrontation where two people confront each other. Well, some people do. Understand that your adversary is going to confront you. He is going to confront you about your faith. And when he does confront you, you need to be able to withstand him. You need to be able to resist him. You need to be able to stand in the evil day. When is the evil day? The day of confrontation. It's the day of confrontation. It's a reality. So Paul says, stand therefore, first piece. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, truth here is the Greek word aletheia. It's the Greek word aletheia. And understand this about truth. This is not truth in and of itself. Now, listen. This is truth, right? I could set it over here and never pick it up. I could never read it. It doesn't take away from the fact that this is truth. So, understand that. It's truth, but when Paul says the truth is an armor, it's like the belt or girdle, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, what he means is truth uncovered and revealed. And this is very important if you would stand against the wiles of the devil. Truth does you no good in resisting Satan unless it's revealed to you, unless it's understood by you, unless it's believed by you, unless it's practiced by you.
Yeah.
Obeyed, submitted to. You remember the passages we read last week? Submit yourselves unto God. That's right before the words resist. The first thing in resisting the devil is submitting yourself unto God. You can't do that unless you know the truth. Unless the truth's revealed to you. You have to know how to resist. And so, beloved, we must know the truth. Truth does us no good in resisting Satan unless it's been revealed to us. Think of truth like this. Think of the truth of the gospel of Christ. Many know it. They can regurgitate it to you. Many will say, well, yes, Christ died for our sins. Millions, literally millions, can tell you that. Many know it, but they do nothing with it. It's simply base knowledge. It's only when that truth is revealed in the gospel, believed by faith, by that soul, that's when it becomes effectual Only then does that truth save. See, Paul says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of men, which you heard of me, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh in you, not that leaves it on the side and does nothing with it, but effectually worketh in you that believes it. And so, truth that's not believed does us no good. Truth that's not obeyed does us no good. Truth that's not practiced does us no good. Beloved, we need to submit ourselves unto our God. So now think of the girding yourself with truth. Think of it this way. You could have a weapons belt with all the tools and weapons of war at your disposal. But if you don't put it on, if you have no experience with it, in the use of it, what good is it in your defense? Truth is the first piece of the armor that Paul is teaching us about. So back to the Roman soldier of Paul's day, when they fought in battle, they girded up their loins. Now, literally, what the girding up of the loins meant was they wore these long robes, and they would pull them up, and they'd tie them up tight. And if you look at the historical context of a Roman soldier, their legs were showing, because they needed to be free to run. But they had girded on a tight belt. And when you talk about the loins, you're talking about the lower rib area, you're talking about down to the trunk. And they girded on this tight belt, and their weapons were hanging on that belt. So they tightly girded about the weapons belt or girdle, not only carried their weapons, but also protected their lower torso and strengthened their lower back and hips, their loins. And when they tightened this thing up, it actually helped them to stand for long periods of time to battle. Now listen, the idea for you, Christian, is to stand. It literally means to dig your heels in. Stand against. To dig your heels in. So now, we've talked about the Roman soldier, and we've talked about how he girds himself, but how do we apply this passage to our Christian life today? How do you and I stand having our loins girded about with the truth? How is this applicable to us? Well, again, stand is a military term. It means to stand firm. It means to hold your ground like a soldier or a warrior. To have your loins girded about with the truth, then, is to be equipped, to be prepared, and to be ready in your mind, in your heart, spiritually, with the truth in your hearts, to be ready. Ready for what? Ready to be confronted by the devil. To know your enemy, but to also know your weapons. What good is the truth if I don't know it? What good is the truth if I'm not skilled in the use of it? What good is the truth if I can't answer his accusations? If I can't answer the temptations? What good is the truth if I can't turn away from what he tempts me to do, his influence? What good does it do me if I get knocked down? So Paul says, stand. Now listen, Paul laid the groundwork doctrinally in the book of Ephesians before he ever presented this practical truth to the Ephesians. Look at Ephesians 1:13. Just a few passages. He laid the groundwork doctrinally for the Ephesians. So don't ever think that you don't need to be in the Word. Don't ever think that you don't need to study the Word. Beloved, you need this Word. It weaponizes you. It arms you. Ephesians 1:13 says, In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So you see, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth. The truth is, it's a necessity. Look at 4:14 of Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians 4:14. This is where we are learning about the church, beloved. We'll just read 4:14 and 15. Paul says here that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, why are they like that? Because they don't know the truth. Because they're not well-grounded in the truth. He says in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Look at verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. How do they walk? They have their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. So you see how Paul is laying the groundwork. He's teaching them about the truth that they must know. Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And so, brethren, remember the truth of God, not believed or practiced, it will do you no good. If you would stand against the devil's wiles, you must, by faith, stand in the strength of the Lord. And you can't do that unless you stand by faith upon the truth of God's word. Listen, our faith takes hold upon the truth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so this is what we must have. The greatest example of standing upon the truth was the Lord Jesus in his temptation immediately after his baptism. Go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. It's the greatest example for us to see the Lord Jesus resisting the devil. Now, note that he overcame Satan's temptations by perfect and skilled use of the Word of God. As a man, Jesus believed the truth and trusted in it in the midst of his temptations. Look at it. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Obviously, the first temptation was what? He hadn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. Hunger. Hunger. He said, make these stones bread. Feed yourself, man. But he answered and said, it is written, it is written, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any times thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And this is very important, verse 11. Then the devil leaveth him. Beloved, that's the key to your resistance, is the truth of God's word. The devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. And for another comfort, turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Hebrews 4:14. So remember, the greatest example of standing upon the truth and resisting the devil is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4:14. Paul here says, seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest, which means we do, which cannot be touched, which means he can, be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, because he was in all points tempted like as we are, tempted by the devil, yet without sin. And here's another key to your resistance. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Beloved, the Lord Jesus is our great example of standing and resisting the devil with the truth. Again, as a man, Jesus, this is why, as a man, Jesus believed the truth and trusted in it in the midst of his temptations. This is why it's so important for you to be well-versed and well-equipped in the truth. It's so important that you're in your Bibles. It's so important that you understand what the Word of God means. We're not just reading it as a textbook. We're not just reading it like a novel. Beloved, we are equipping ourselves. We are to be equipping ourselves with the truth. Listen, the truth must be your strength. It's your answer to the devil's attacks, his fiery darts, his wiles, and his temptations. It's got to be part of you. You must put it on. Listen, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. In other words, you must not just know it by rote. You can't just repeat it. You need to know how to use it. If somebody handed me a samurai sword right now and I had to go fight with a real samurai, I'd get carved up. I don't know how to use a samurai sword. But we need to know how to use this sword, beloved. We need to be skilled with it. We ought to be mature with it. We need to know how to wield it. We need to know how to pull it out of its scabbard. We need to clean it and shine it and sharpen it every night. Sharpen it in our own spirits, beloved. It must be your strength. It must be your answer. And listen, every skirmish that you go through, you should be a little better for the next skirmish. And remember, the objective is to stand in the evil day and to still be standing by faith in Christ and by faith in the truth of His holy word after every attack, after every skirmish, after every confrontation from the wicked one, is to still be standing. It's to not get knocked down. Listen, though you may fall, Christian, you shall not be utterly cast down. Listen, you need to realize that this word must be your life. Because, listen, you are going to be confronted by your adversary. And so let me encourage you to stand. 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. Follow me in these passages. Pull that sword out of its scabbard. Become experienced with it, beloved. Know that it is your life. Look at it. 1 Corinthians 16, 13. Paul says to the Corinthians, watch ye. These are military terms. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you by men. Be strong. Listen, that's what we are to be by faith. And that word stand fast means stand with resistance. It's not just talking about standing there. It's stand there and dig your heels in and to know that the confrontation will come. 2 Corinthians 1:24. You're right there. Just turn the page. And I really want to concentrate on five little words at the back end of this verse. He says, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy in these words. Listen, by faith ye stand. By faith ye stand. By faith in who? Listen, your faith has an object. That object is Christ. And so, by faith ye stand. 1 Thessalonians 3:8. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 8. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, he says, for now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. That's a military term, beloved. It's not just talking about standing there. And then 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, and you ought to know this, your enemy, you need to know your enemy. We talked about that last time. And listen, with every attack and every skirmish, I think I said this already, but I'll say it again, you ought to be a little more wiser. You ought to know your enemy a little better every time. You ought to know when he is firing a fiery dart at you. You ought to know when something is happening to you in this life, or you're hearing something in your ears from somebody in this life that's an attack of the devil. Don't succumb to it, brother. That's why you need to be sharp in the word. You need to have the girdle of truth on. Now back to Ephesians, we'll close. I want you to see something right before we close here, is the order in which the armor is put on. Note the first piece of armor. Truth. Truth. Notice he says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And so, beloved, truth uncovered, truth revealed, truth believed, and then truth practiced. Beloved, that's how you resist the devil. Listen, you need to know your Bibles. As the samurai is skilled with his sword, you need to be skilled with this one. You need to be skilled in the Word of God. The passage that we memorized, you remember Hebrews? For when you ought to be teachers, you have one. You need to be taught again, which be the first principles of the doctrine of Christ. And you can't take strong meat. You're only drinking milk for your baby. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, who by reason of, you know what the next word is? Use. You know how you get proficient with this sword? You study it. You believe it. And you use it. Paul said in Hebrews, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And listen, you have your senses exercised, you'll know when the attack's coming, when you're being confronted by the wicked one. Truth is first, then righteousness. Can't have righteousness without truth. Then the gospel of peace, then the shield of faith. What's your faith going to be if you don't have any truth? Your faith is in the truth of God's word. The helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and then all prayer. And so, brethren, I hope the practical part of this can be useful for you. Stand, therefore, as a Christian, you, by your faith in the truth. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You. And then you can mount a successful resistance against the wicked one in the evil day. But here's the thing that alarms me, and I'll close. How many of us don't even know when we're getting attacked? How many of us are under attack? And we don't even know it. Don't even know it. And the wicked one's laughing. And there we are. We don't even pull the sword out because we have no idea. Brethren, this fight is real. Yeah. It's real. We need to know it. Now, I think as children of God, we figure it out after we've gone a couple of days. And then we realize that we're in the middle of some strife, some earthly skirmish that means nothing to the kingdom of God, but it's dragging us down. And Satan has one of his small victories, but he's got us fighting on his ground. And we don't even know it. Brethren, we need to know the truth. We need to know the truth. And we need to stand having our loins girt about with truth. We need to be skilled in the use of this word. Your adversary is real. Don't ever think he is. Now, listen. He's not going to win. He cannot win. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so, brethren, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. So never think he's going to win. But you better be wise enough and smart enough to know that you ain't going to win on your own. You need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So I pray that this will help you. Brethren, I pray this will be a good doctrinal and practical lesson as you go out into the world. And I pray God will be magnified in it. Amen. Let's dismiss in prayer. Lord, help us, oh God, to know our enemy. But help us 1,000 times more to know thee, O God. To know your word. To know the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to study his life. Father, help us to behold his wisdom in the days of his flesh. Father, help us, Lord, to know the word of God. Help us to believe and help us to submit ourselves unto thee, O God. And then help us, Father, to be able to use thy word as you've given it to us, truth, Lord, as a belt for our loins to strengthen us that we may be able to stand in the evil day. Help us, Heavenly Father. We need your strength. We trust you and we pray for it. Bless your people, Father, as we go to our homes. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen each one of us. Father, add to our faith. Help us, Lord. We'll give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we ask you. Amen.